The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group. WHKW W245CY Cleveland, reminding you, church doors are open. Worship in person this Sunday, a service of Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, if you can stay with us. And I don't put you to sleep in the meantime, I guess. But we'd love to have you stay with us tonight. But welcome to the program this evening. As I said, Pastor Al Davis, I'm the host of the program. And I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and certainly invite you to visit us out there. We'll have more information on our church throughout the program here tonight, and just encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can listen to past programs there. I've got a number of past programs that are there, and I'm just looking to see. I'm just double-checking here. I guess we are up through last Sunday, February 18th, on our webpage right now. I don't have last Friday on there, but we have both of our Sunday hours, the 10 o'clock hour and the 11 o'clock hour. They're both available there. And we also have the half-hour program every Friday afternoon at 1:30 right here on the station. That's available all at livewithpastoral.com. In addition to that, I have some articles on there that I have written and over the years. And I generally do about one a month for our church newsletter. And there's usually links to the newsletter is there as well. But the last article I have right there was published a couple weeks ago, Healing in the Atonement, with a question mark. And so you can find that there. And then there's some other things, some other observations and things that I have on there from time to time, some little items periodically. And then, of course, there's links to other materials that are there. And I hope we'll find something there at livewithpastoral.com that'd be a blessing to you, encouragement to you in some way. There's also a link to our home page for our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And if you go there, you can click on the link. That'll take you to the Richfield Bible Baptist Church page. And that is some information about our church. And of course, as I said, I am the pastor there. And just like to remind people that if you visit our church, if you're looking for us, don't look for a building with a steeple up on top. You won't find us. We're in a commercial storefront at the corner of Wheatley Road and Brecksville Road in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right near where 77 and 271 cross, and very easy to get to. And so we'd love to have you visit us. And, of course, we have our regular services every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock is our morning service. I am currently preaching through the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 8 right now. And then on Sunday nights, I'm preaching through the book of Proverbs, and we're actually in Proverbs chapter 27 right now. And then every Friday night our Sunday evening service at 6 o'clock, every Friday night from 7 to 9, we have a Bible study, an informal Bible study, where people bring questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, like we do on the radio. And that's every Friday night, as I said, 7 to 9. And we have refreshments there. It's an informal setting, and we have room for discussion and things like that. And so that's one of my favorite times of the week. So we invite you to check us out any of those times, any of those services, and we'd love to have you visit with us at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. You can find out more about us, as I said, and about the program, about me, about the church at livewithpastoral.com. All right. Well, with all of that said, let's go ahead and open our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Lord, we just pray that you would bless the program, use it for your glory, help us to lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. And also, Lord, we just pray that you would help us to help those who are walking with Christ to be able to walk a little closer with you. So we just thank you for these opportunities. Bless the program tonight for thy glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, again, welcome to the program and Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. The number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on here tonight. And we've got a couple of people lined up already. But I think what we're going to do is we are going to go to John Brown first. And we've got John Brown calling in. And when John Brown calls in, we know that there's something coming up, an event coming up, that God's people need to pray about and hopefully stand up against. So, John Brown, welcome to the program tonight.
Hello, Pastor Al. Thank you for having me on your program again.
We're glad to have you. And it's like I said, when you call, that means there's something going on out there. So,
yeah, unfortunately, I'm not the bearer of good news, I guess. That's just not my thing. But as your listeners are probably anticipating, the perverts, I don't know how else to say it, at Near West Theater in Cleveland, you know, Detroit Shoreway in Cleveland, are having their quarterly grooming session, or drag queen story hour, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, as, you know, salt and light of the earth, myself and several of our other godly Christian men from an assortment of churches, actually, we intend to have our street preaching, gospel demonstration, protest, whatever you want to call it, outside across the street to try to reprove evil and try to discourage and hinder and reprove evil as much as we lawfully can. That is going to be Saturday, March 9th. It's just 2 weeks from now. Saturday, March 9th. Their show starts at about 11 a.m., but they've been starting earlier to try to avoid our protest, you know, to get the kids in there.
Right.
The victims, I should say, in there before we're there in place. So we need to be in place by 9:30 to 9:45. And I also have other reasons for wanting to be so early, which I'll get into here in a few minutes. But we really need to be in place for a multitude of reasons early. The last time we were there early, we were able to actually, you know, see the performer himself walk in, and he's quite a disgusting creature, but I'll go into about that, but we were able to even tell him, sir, you need to repent. You need to repent of your sin. You're going to answer to God for what you're doing here. So, again, that's Saturday, March 9th. These things are not going away. This is not just a passing fad. I have actually recently found out that there is another organization that this performer and another of his fellow degenerates are performing at, called Colors Plus Youth Center, over in Fairview Park, to the southwest of this, about 20 minutes, I think, southwest, I believe it is, from Near West. There's another organization that's having these drag queen shows. And actually, if you live in Cuyahoga County, your tax dollars, your county tax, property taxes, are paying in part for these, not only the drag queen story hours for children, but they actually have lessons for, I believe, for children on how to perform in drag. Mm. And they do it every month, both the lessons and the story hours. So we're focusing on the Near West ones because that's what we've been doing. And we've had some profitable conversations with just, you know, local passersby that had no idea this was going on, and they're glad to. People are glad to see that Christians are actually doing, you know, what they're putting their money where their mouth is, and we say
right.
We believe this is wrong, and we believe in being salt and light of the earth, and well, we actually are showing up and trying to be salt and light of the earth. Again, this is a peaceful gospel demonstration. It's not really a political event. I mean, our fellow, this is mainly for God's people, for Christians, but our fellow conservatives or people of goodwill who just oppose the harming of these children are welcome to bring their political signs and stand, you know, next to us and everything, and protest against it from a political perspective. You know, Obviously, we would not welcome the gays against groomers or anyone else like that. We don't believe in standing with the wicked, but we sometimes have some Catholic people that show up. I mean, this is mainly a Christian thing, but we also have some Catholics that show up sometimes, and they're mainly doing it from a political perspective. I think, obviously we would not agree with the Catholics on, the doctrine of salvation, but we certainly would agree that this is harmful for children.
Right.
And so they'd be more than welcome to join us there. We are there. We're asking people to please pray for us and join us if possible as we reprove evil, we're warning men of God's judgment, and we're preaching his offer of pardon, most importantly, through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Pastor, Amen. We are not Westboro Baptist Church.
No, we I understand that, yeah.
We are not there just to say, ha ha, this bad thing's happening, or God hates you, you're gonna burn in hell. We are not there for that. We are there reproving them for their wickedness because we want to see people repent. Now, obviously, we understand that the vast majority of them, sadly, will not repent. But our goal is to see men repent. One of our main verses that in Ezekiel says, preach whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. We're not responsible for their response. We're only responsible to warn them of their sin, to tell them of their sin, warn them of their impending doom and God's judgment, and tell them of God's gracious offer of pardon through repentance and faith in Christ. And that's all we can do is we can hold out, we can throw out the lifeline, Pastor, as the song says, but we can't make them grab it.
Amen.
That's all we're trying to do.
If somebody wants to be involved in this, what's the best thing they can do?
Well, the first thing we need people to do is pray. Regardless of whether or not you can come, and that's not just some trite saying. We have been granted a miraculous degree of protection and good weather, good attendance on our side. I think we're actually seeing the numbers in the Near West people, unless they're sneaking the victims in a side door or something. I really think that there's fewer people. We see fewer kids coming in the last couple than when we started doing this. Mm-hmm. So. I mean, obviously, we're not there to unlawfully harass people, but if they're so they're so angry at our demonstration that they don't bring their children, then that's even better. But I really think we're having an impact. We need people to pray because we have been given, like I said, the good weather, but most importantly, physical and legal protection. We have not had any serious physical altercations. We have had a few moments of tense conflict, but praise be to God and to the commendation of the Cleveland Police Department. They have done their jobs and kept order. Sometimes they've had to do so somewhat forcefully. Obviously, we're not over there getting in the other side's face. We would never cross the street and try to hinder them or harass them from entering their property. That's unlawful, and we've got to be strictly lawful. We stay on our side of the street. We hold our signs. We preach the gospel. But the police have done a commendable job, and we need people to continue to pray for that. Our government is on a witch hunt right now. As you know, Pastor, more than others, they are doing everything they can to round up any kind of anyone who remotely resembles a right-winger or conservative or culturally or politically involved Christian on the flimsiest of fabricated charges, and they also use the flimsiest of pretexts to arrest or order our people to disperse at other events, not our local group, but our brethren in Christ and our comrades in arms, so to speak, who are called to this same ministry across the country. I have seen probably more than half a dozen videos of our brethren in arms being arrested by by the law enforcement who swore to uphold our Constitution, but they're just following orders. Mm-hmm. So they are on the flimsiest of pretexts, too. We have not had any such problems. That could change any minute. I understand what we do is not necessarily the most dangerous thing, but there is an element of danger there. Any one of our events could go very badly for any of us. God has given us not only safety, but he's given us liberty, He's given us good weather. Please pray for the, especially for these next 2 weeks. If people would pray every day or every other day or something, if brethren, if you'd ask your churches to pray, I think this is not something we need to deal with just in whispered tones. Obviously, some churches can deal with this more openly than others, but please ask your churches and your Bible study group and your adult Bible fellowships or whatever your groups you have in your church. Ask them to pray by this, by our, for us, our ministry specifically by name. So God will send his, you know, his holy angels to protect us and give us, you know, have our vehicles not break down on the way there. There's so many ways this could go badly. We need God's people to pray. And I know I spent a lot of time on that, but that's I can't overstate how important that is. God answers prayer. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And God has answered our prayers wonderfully so well. He's provided the protection and the materials for the ministry he's called us to. And it's because God's people have been praying. I know there's many people out there who, as the song says, are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle in the sacred place of prayer. There's lots of people who I know are listening to your program and hearing of our ministry other ways who are praying for us. They could never come, but they're praying for us, and that works wonders for us. Other than that, you know, anyone who any able-bodied person, you know, who can come and stand there, you know, we've had some older people bring chairs and sit there in chairs holding signs. They're welcome to do that. Anyone who can, please come. Again, this is we're talking about a Drag Queen Story Hour protest at the Near West Theater. That's 6702 Detroit Avenue in Cleveland, Ohio. That's Saturday, March 9th, 2024. We're asking people to be in place around 9:30 to 9:45. The show is about 11 to 12. They say that it actually usually starts a little earlier and runs a little later, but so we're probably going to be leaving around 12:30 or 1. But we do have a Telegram, Pastor. I know you're on Telegram, I believe. You have a channel that, you know, anyone else on Telegram, I suggest you seek out Pastor Al's channel. He has posts some interesting things on there. Help you keep informed.
It's hard to find. It's called Live with Pastor Al, so it's pretty hard to find.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of garbage on Telegram, and there's a lot of good news, but from... Well, people I really wouldn't want are people to have to wade through.
Yes.
And so, you know, if you're on to the Telegram social network, which I encourage people to do, I really don't like the social networking, but it's just an unfortunate necessity. Telegram at the moment is not censoring our people too badly, so that's what a lot of us are using. But if you use the link t.me/OCA1729. I'll give that in a minute. If you type that link into your phone, it'll take you to the page. I do believe now they've updated it. You used to be able to view the page just with that link. I think you actually have to sign into Telegram, but it's a free thing you can get, and you don't have to use the app for anything other than that. But that's t.me/OCA1729. We have a very simple Telegram page there. The only thing we use that for is if we have to cancel or alter the event. There is a chance, because there's also another Drag Queen Story Hour going on at that Colors Plus place at the same time. If for some reason there's some sort of trick where they're canceling one, obviously our plan would be to go to the other. So, and that's the only reason I mentioned the other one. That's the kind of thing that I would announce on that 1729 page. So that's t.me/OCA1729. Pastor Al, do you have any other questions? Any other thing we should go over? I know your people have heard, you know, us explain this many times before,
right.
So I don't want to belabor the point.
No, I think you nailed it there, and you got all the information out there. And actually, while you were talking, I opened up my Telegram page, and I typed that in, and it comes right up. You've got a flyer there right now that people can view. And so I encourage
people
to do that.
You should be able to download that and print it if you'd like. There is, if you want to hand it out at your church, you know, please, if you go to a conservative church, which you should be, if you don't go to a church where you can talk about this stuff openly, you probably should find another church. But obviously you have to use some tact, and you know, there's a time and place for everything. But advertise this at your local churches. We need some more people out there with us. The more people we have, the greater impact we have, the more signs we can hold. We have more signs than we have people. We have some men in our church who are excellent, and some women actually that help, who have made us some excellent top quality signs, which we get a lot of compliments on. But we have a lot more signs than we have hands to hold them. So you don't have to do anything but show up. We have signs for you, and that's pretty much all you have to do is stand there and hold a sign. There might be some street preaching group that joins us. You know, there's and some other people I won't disclose too much on here, but all you have to do is show up and hold a sign. We need a lot more people out there. It's safer for us physically and legally the more people we have, and we have a bigger visual impact. This is not just for the people across the street. It's so passersby see Christians doing what they're saying to do. And we act, like I said, we actually have some pretty good conversations with people just passing by.
Right.
And praise the Lord, we've been able to put tracts into little kids' hands. While the enemy is misleading children across the street inside the theater, we're giving Bible story books to, you know, mothers walking by with their children that'll tell them, you know, that there's a God that loves them and, you know, how they can be reconciled to that God that loves them.
Right.
So the more people we have, the more of that we can do.
Amen. Well, again, John Brown, I want to thank you for calling in and sharing that information. And I'm sure you'll give us a call back next week as a reminder of what's coming up. But hopefully this is a heads up in time that people can make plans for this. So appreciate that.
All right. Yes. Thank you, Pastor Al, for your time. And I'm sorry that took a lot longer than I think you were expecting, but I really appreciate you giving me so much of your airtime to advertise this ministry. We really feel called that this is our fight in our hour. God's placed us in this time for a reason. And we really think this is what we are called to do. Several men in our churches share this burden. And we appreciate all the help and prayers and support that God's people can give us. Thank you, Pastor Al.
Well, thank you, John Brown. Appreciate you calling in tonight, telling the people about this. And pray for this and check them out. It's t.me/OCA1729 on Telegram, and you can find out more information about that. So appreciate that. And well, you know, it's kind of sad that we have to talk about these things, but there is a real threat out there. And John Brown brought up something that I'll be touching on later in the program tonight, probably in the second hour, and that is called Christian nationalism. And this is something that is being built up on the left as a, it's sort of a straw man argument, but really what they're building up is a false concept, a false idea of Christians who are willing to get out in the public sector and advocate for their beliefs and to try to be doers of the word, if I might quote another radio program, not just hearers, but doers. And, you know, they're trying to make this label of Christian nationalism stick. And these are things that we need to be aware of as Christians. And so I'll be talking about that, I believe, in the second hour tonight as well in more depth. But again, do pray for these ministries. You are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight. We've got Nancy who's patiently waiting for us this evening. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call.
Well, good evening.
Now, tonight, my question is about the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
What is his identity?
What is his identity?
Yeah, who is the Antichrist? Is he the Catholic Pope? Is he a Muslim? Is he Chinese? You know, is he from Europe? I've heard all different theories. Now, I was doing a little research, and I don't know if this applies or not. 2 Thessalonians 2:3.
Mm-hmm.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there should be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And then jumping down to another one of your favorite verses. verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity, I think that's Satan, is already at work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then, you know, the King James Version has these long sentences, verses.
For a reason, too.
Yeah, for a good reason, yeah. So verses 8 through 10, it's all one sentence. And I think this is about the Antichrist. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. All one sentence. But it doesn't, I think it's describing the Antichrist. I'm not sure, but it doesn't tell the identity of the Antichrist. Do you have any theories as to who the Antichrist might be? Or could you reveal who other authorities think it might be?
Well, let me give you some thoughts here. And one of them will go from where you started already. I don't think we will know until he's revealed. And that goes with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it says there in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except they're coming falling away first. And then he says this, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He goes on describing the Antichrist. But it says there's a coming a time when he will be revealed, which suggests that the identity of the Antichrist probably will not be known for sure. There'll be some ideas, some guesses, and everything, and there are right now. But the real identity is going to be revealed at a future date, okay? And with that, I think a clue to the identity of the Antichrist comes from Daniel chapter 9. And I know we're going to be coming up on a break here shortly, and we'll probably have to hold this some of this till over the other side of the break. But let's just jump into Daniel chapter 9, where we have what is called the vision of the 70 weeks. And there are 70 weeks of years. We understand that. And this is 70 weeks. Each week, each day stands for a year. And in the 70 weeks of years in this vision, it is designed to bring Israel to the point where they will accept Jesus as their Messiah so that Jesus can set up his kingdom here on earth. And that will be the thousand-year reign of Christ here on earth. And in the process leading up to that, it says this in verse number 26, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Let me pause there for just a moment. This is a reference to when Jesus, and this is coming up at the end of March. We're going to be celebrating Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. And yes, I use the word Easter, and we'll talk about that more in the future. Easter is not a mispronunciation of Ishtar. Easter is a word that's in the King James Bible because it represents the Christian Passover. And Easter was used to distinguish it from the Jewish Passover, but I'm not going to get into that right now. So the Messiah will be cut off. That's the rejection of Christ as Messiah. Remember, he entered in triumphantly on Palm Sunday. And then a few days later, the same people were crying out, crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. They rejected him. He was cut off. And then notice the next statement here. He was cut off, but not for himself. The next statement, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now think about that for just a second. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Well, who destroyed Jerusalem and the temple after Jesus was here? Well, it was the Romans. The Romans came in the year 170, led by Titus. Does that mean Titus was the Antichrist? No. It's the prince of the people. The Roman people This is our clue to the identity of the Antichrist. He comes out of the Roman Empire, because the prince of the Roman Empire. Now, you say, well, the Roman Empire isn't here today. Well, the remnants of it are here. And this is the prince that shall, the people that are going to come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. That's the Romans. And it says in verse 27, and we're going to take a break here in just a second, and he, referring to that prince, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's the 7 years of the tribulation period. In the middle of that week, he'll cause the sacrifices and oblations to cease. I hear the music there right now. Nancy, if you will hold, we will be right back after a short break. We'll continue talking about the Antichrist. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220. The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight. Our phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program, and also about our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And, of course, that's the main sponsor of our program tonight. And we certainly invite you to visit us and more information online, more information later in the program about our church. But also wanted to mention that In addition to the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, we're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. If you're on the east side, actually, if you're on the west side, it doesn't matter. Drive over to Garfield Heights, East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. If you're going down Turney Road, you can't miss it. It's right across the street. Even if you don't see the sign or whatever, if you see the high school, you're right there. It's right across the street from the high school. High school's on the west side of the road, and East Coast Pizza's on the east side of the road. And so very easy to find. If you can find the high school, you can find East Coast Pizza. And so East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. Call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And I think they've got the best pizza in the Cleveland area. And I know people who drive from the west side over there. I've gone there from Richfield to get pizza. And I was just talking with somebody recently. We were saying, well, it's been a while. We haven't been up there and had a pizza lately. We got to get up there and get some. But East Coast Pizza, I guarantee you will enjoy it. It's, I think, the best pizza in the area. And give them a call, 216-341-9100. And, you know, if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask to speak with Gus. He can help you get set up in your own pizza business. Maybe you've got a restaurant and you just want to add a good pizza to your lineup. He can help you out with that. Maybe you just want to start your own business. He can help you out with that. It's not a franchise. Be your own business. But Gus would be glad to help you out there at East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. All right. Well, we're going to get back to our program here tonight. And we were talking with Nancy, and she was asking a question in the last half hour regarding the identity of the Antichrist. And so this is the individual that's going to come to power during the tribulation period. And I mentioned in the last half hour that according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 3, there's a time when he's going to be revealed, which implies to me that you will not know exactly who he is. You might have some suspicions and some guesses and things, but you won't know exactly who he is until he's revealed. And I wanted to go to Daniel chapter 9 because I think that gives us some insight into who the Antichrist is as well. But Nancy, are you still with us there?
Yes, I am, Pastor Al, and I'm anxiously awaiting to find out some hints as to who the Antichrist is.
All right. Well, Daniel chapter 9, and this is where we left off before the break. There's Daniel's prophecy, a vision he had of 70 weeks of years that would sum up the end of times for Israel and bringing them to the point where they would embrace their Messiah, and that, of course, is Jesus Christ, which the Bible says they one day they will look upon him whom they've pierced, and they will mourn because they will realize he is the Messiah. They could have accepted him previously, but instead they rejected him. Daniel chapter 9 says that they would reject him in verse number 26, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. That's a reference to Jesus being crucified. He was crucified, put to death, not for sins that he committed, but for sins which you and I committed. And so he was cut off, but not for himself. He did that in order to purchase our salvation. And then it says, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And that, of course, is a reference to when Rome invaded and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple in the year 70 AD. And of course, they were led by Titus, who went on to become the ruler of Rome, the Roman Empire. But it doesn't mean that Titus is the Antichrist. There's more that comes. There's more that comes with this. But it does give us our first clue as to whom the Antichrist will be. He comes out of the Roman Empire. Well, the Roman Empire was pretty big. At its height, it reached all the way from the British Isles down to Alexandria, Egypt, and from you know, Mesopotamia and what would be Iraq and places like that in Syria and Turkey and all the way across northern Africa to Spain, and it covered a very large area, much of the Mediterranean area. But we would take this to be out of the people who controlled the Roman Empire, which of course was the Romans, which is where we generally look at the Antichrist being somebody of European descent. Because though we do not have Rome as an empire today, we have the remnants of Rome. And of course, that is Europe. So that's what we generally take that to mean there. And he's going to confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's the last week of years. That's a 7-year tribulation period. And notice what it says in verse 27 there. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now this, sometimes people will say, well, Antiochus Epiphanes fulfilled this. Well, he's not the Antichrist because he didn't confirm a covenant for 7 years with the Jewish people, for one thing. But he did desecrate the temple, and he did he sacrificed a pig on the altar in the temple and desecrated the temple. It led to the Maccabean revolt and throwing off Rome for a short time. But he's not the one, because Jesus, referring to what Daniel said here, said, when ye see the abomination of desolation, he's talking about something that's going to be future. Antiochus Epiphanes was in the past, so it couldn't be him. So we're looking to the future, something beyond the time of Christ. The Antichrist had to arrive after Christ. To arrive after Christ, has to arrive after Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. Well, we're certainly in that time frame. And it's out of the Roman Empire. There's other passages in Daniel, and you know, I can just touch on a couple of them here. In Daniel chapter, let's see here, let's go to Daniel chapter 7 first. In Daniel chapter 7, starting in verse 7, it says, "In this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth that devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns." Okay, now this fourth beast represents Rome. The beast before it represented Babylon, Media Persia, and Greece in that order. And now we've reached Rome. And as we look at this beast, he says this this thing about these 10 horns. And it's the idea is that Rome eventually devolves into 10 sort of kingdoms or regions. And that goes back to Nebuchadnezzar's dream, where he also had a dream of the succession of world empires from Babylon to Media Persia to Greece and then to Rome. And the Roman Empire divided into the two legs in the vision of the image, which we had the Eastern and Western branches of the Roman Empire, sides of the Roman Empire, and then into 10 toes. And that would be 10 kingdoms. Now, some people think, well, that means that the European, Europe, I should say, is going to eventually consist of 10 countries. And any of the extra countries, because there's more than 10 countries in the European Union today, so the other ones will have to go. No, what this is they're going to try and rule over the world with 10 regions of governance. And a lot of one world groups, for some reason, all like to come up with dividing the world into 10 administrative regions, each region having its own ruler. What's that? I missed what
yeah,
you said.
Yeah, they do seem to like the number 10.
Right, right. And so out of these 10 horns, Daniel 7, verse 8 says, "And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom were there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, this in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things." So the Antichrist is going to be a great orator. But he's going to arise at a time when the world appears to be dividing into 10 regions. And three of those regions are going to give some trouble, and he is going to come to power. Let me jump over to Daniel chapter 8. In Daniel chapter 8, and let's go there to, let's see, Daniel chapter 8, starting in verse we got the ram with two horns, and let's drop down to verse 8 where the he-goat is. Here we are. Daniel chapter 8, verse 8, "Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great, and toward the south, and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land," that would be a reference to the where Israel is today, "and it waxed great, even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and the stars to the ground, stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself, even to the prince of the host, and by him," notice what he says here, "and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down." Remember what we read in Daniel chapter 9 in verse 27? "In the midst of the week, he caused the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate." This is a reference to that. And so this gives us some characteristics of the Antichrist. But like I said, these characteristics that we have, and there's more, indicates that he will arrive on the scene during the time when the Roman Empire has been divided. And there appears to be 10 regions that the world is divided into, and they're trying to bring together a world government. Kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? And and you know, these groups want the world divided into 10 regions. And out of those 10 regions, three are going to give some trouble. And eventually, he is going to come to power during that time. And as we saw there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he will be revealed in that time. And also in Daniel chapter 9, in verse 27, "he shall confirm the covenant," which means there's going to be some kind of agreement with the Jewish people that will apparently bring peace to that region during that time. My speculation is that we are going to see a battle in the Middle East that'll fulfill Psalm 83. And in that battle, I believe that Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, Jordan, and some other places will suffer some damage, part of Iran, but not totally. And there probably could very well be an exchange of, well, at least the Israelis have nuclear weapons and their backs to the wall. There may be some use of them, which results in Damascus being taken away from being a city overnight, which results in Egypt being uninhabitable for 40 years, which it results in Babylon being uninhabitable, and a number of other similar sorts of things. And the world will see this take place, and I think that'll be something that'll prove to bring people together and say, we can't let this happen again. And it's out of that that they'll come up with something that'll allow Israel to live in peace. Of course, most of their enemies will be destroyed, the immediate enemies right around them. And that will set up for Ezekiel chapter 38, because remember when the Russian-led Confederacy attempts to invade Israel, they call it the land of unwalled villages where people are living without bars or gates. Well, that's certainly not Israel today. And if they've reached a point because the Bible indicates that in this Psalm 83 battle, or the results of it, Israel will not be destroyed. They'll survive, but they will be depleted. They will be hurting. Mm-hmm. And so this world government will come to be, and they will guarantee peace, and the person that's ahead of it will confirm that covenant with the Jewish people for 7 years. That will reveal to whoever's watching who the Antichrist is. So he's mm-hmm. going to be a world leader. He's likely going mm-hmm. to come out of Europe. That would be my guess. Mm-hmm. And he's going to eventually claim to be God. We saw that in Second Thessalonians mm-hmm. chapter 2, where he declares himself to be God. And certainly in Revelation chapter 13, where the false prophet, who, by the way, is another interesting individual, he comes on the scene, and he urges people to worship the Antichrist as God. He's referred to as the beast in Revelation. And that actually gives us another insight. Let me just go there real quick. In Revelation chapter 13, it starts out saying, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns." I wonder where we've seen those 10 horns before. And it goes on to describe him. But generally speaking, the seas represent the Gentile nations, okay? And a little further down in verse 11, it says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him." And it goes on to describe him, and he said, "He caused all the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, and whose deadly wound was healed." But notice he comes up out of the earth, and this is an indication that he will come up out of the Jewish people. So the Antichrist, the beast, the false Christ, apparently will be from a Gentile background, whereas the false prophet will be from a Jewish background. Now, there's going to be a one-world religion that arises during the tribulation period, of course, and it's coming together now. And certainly the Pope is very instrumental behind that. Now, I don't know that we still do, but I know that we have in the past, so I don't know why we wouldn't today, unless he's passed away. But there was a cardinal, and when there's a new Pope installed, generally speaking, they pick him from one of the cardinals, right? So there was a cardinal, that I don't remember his name, but he comes from a Jewish background. Wouldn't that be interesting if he became Pope? I remember the last time they picked a Pope, we were talking about this and speculated, because if we had a Jewish a cardinal, of course he's Roman Catholic, I understand that, but many people, you know, are born Jewish and they become Catholic, or they become born again and they become a Christian. There was a tremendous evangelist many years ago called Mordecai Ham. He was born Jewish, and he became a born-again Christian and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, but he was still ethnically Jewish. And so this cardinal would ethnically be Jewish. And let's say he became the Pope. Well, as the leader of a group that's trying to bring all religions under Rome to begin with, wouldn't that make that a good candidate, in my mind, for the false prophet? I know a lot of people, and many people remember our good friend Bruce Musselman, who's with the Lord now. I've had many conversations with Bruce Musselman on this issue, and he was pretty sure he thought that the Pope, the Antichrist, the false Christ, the beast, would actually be the Pope. And there's many people in the past who said that, but my position, I think that the Pope will probably be a better candidate for the false prophet. Now, a lot of people say, well, the Pope is supposed to be the vicar of Christ. He's the stand-in for Christ on the earth, so that would make him, you know, a good candidate. And that may well be. I could get some of these things incorrect. And besides, popes are oftentimes, well, nearly always Gentile, and largely coming from the the descendants of the Roman Empire, so that's entirely possible. But I would tend to think that the Antichrist himself is going to arise out of the political side of things. And we have some candidates. People said, oh, Barack Obama. I had somebody say that Bill Clinton was the Antichrist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had somebody tell me one time that Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush collectively were the Antichrist. I figured that one out. They were both no longer president at the time. That was back in the 1990s. And I think Bill Clinton was president. And so they said Gorbachev would be Antichrist. Putin would be the Antichrist. The fact is, I don't think we're going to know for sure until he's revealed. And we know he'll be revealed when he confirms that 7-year covenant with Israel. So we can guess, and I think that even the devil himself does not know exactly who he's going to be, because I think he doesn't know exactly when the Antichrist is going to be able to come to power. So I think the devil has always got candidates that he's grooming so that when the time comes, Hitler, for instance, may have been being groomed to be the Antichrist, but obviously it was not the time. And on others might have been being groomed to be the Antichrist. Some people speculated Napoleon, but it obviously wasn't the time. But when the time comes, he will be revealed. And if you read the Bible, you'll know exactly who he is. And if you miss it when he confirms the covenant with the Jewish people, you'll see it when the false prophet tries to get people to worship him and take the mark, the number or his name on the back of their right hand or on their forehead under penalty of death. So there's where I'm at with that. I don't get into too much saying, I think it's this guy or I think it's that guy. We can look at some interesting people, there in France, Macron, who one of his names is Emmanuel. That's kind of interesting thing, isn't it? But at any rate, there's all kinds of speculation on different people. And, you can be out of the Roman Empire and live in the United States or Canada or Mexico. Mm-hmm. Or somewhere else in the world, too. So a lot of confusion, a lot of possibilities. But one day we will know for sure because he will be revealed. And when he is revealed, during the tribulation period, and in fact, having said that, that's what's going to set the timing of the 7-year tribulation period. Some people falsely think that the catching away of the believers starts the tribulation. It does not. There's nothing in the Bible that says that. The Bible indicates the catching away of the believers has to take place prior to the tribulation, but the tribulation does not begin until Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, when he confirms the covenant. And then we're off and running with the 7-year tribulation period. So hopefully that helps, Nancy. It was an interesting topic.
Thank you. I took numerous notes.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And we're everybody stay tuned. We got an hour to go. But thank you, Nancy. God bless.
On July 2nd, 1954, then-Senator Lyndon Baines Johnson offered an amendment to a pending tax bill. No committee hearings, no legislative analysis, backroom deals. The Johnson Amendment was an overt move to restrict freedom of speech and silence conservative nonprofit groups opposing Johnson and his cronies by threatening their tax-exempt status. The result? Many pastors, out of fear or ignorance, stopped speaking about controversial political issues and elections. Today, many believe that the Johnson Amendment makes it illegal for pastors to address political issues and elections. The Bible says we are to fear God rather than men, and to be salt and light in the world, preaching the whole counsel of God. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. True churches and faithful Christian leaders speak out on political issues and elections.